we come to know you better. It's what we have, Father, to just let you renew our minds to what you really think and how you really want us to feel and to know and to walk, God. We just honor you and praise you, Lord. The entrance of your word brings us revelation, Lord. It brings us light. It brings us answers. And Lord, we thank you for that today. I thank you for the anointing to speak your word. And I thank you for the anointing to hear your word. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want you to know this morning that you're included. I say, you're included. You know, the enemy would try to say that you're excluded or that you don't measure up or that you don't deserve it or all the blah, blah, blah. But God said you're included. He wants you to know this morning, I'm included. Say that with me. I'm included. Say that again. I'm included. Included in what? Everything that God's promised. Everything that He's promised. We're going to see the story, and it's so awesome and it's so clear to me, but it wasn't always clear. Look at verse 1, and we're going to read the first 12 verses, then we're going to come back and talk about it. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace that was given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. And to make all to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages and has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through him in faith. Glory to God. The Word of God is so good. It's so good. But in this particular portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul says that, listen, I want you to hear a mystery. And whenever you see the word mystery in the Bible, it means something that was hidden that's now revealed. Are you with me? Come on. Something that was hidden that was now revealed. I got a secret I want to tell you. Right? Come on. I got a secret. I got a secret. Listen, it's for you to know this secret. I want you to know this mystery that I have for you. But I like this. And this is so, this little story reveals so much of the redemptive power and work of the Lord. First of all, in the first verse it says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Paul was a religious guy that was really right up there with the Jewish people, and we'll see where that comes into importance in a minute. But he was a Pharisee, man. He was a religious. He had gone through all the training, all the schools. He was up there with the best. He was working his way up in the ladder of hierarchy within the Jewish community. And he was persecuting the church. I mean, if you had to know an enemy of Jesus at the time, the number one enemy was Paul. called Saul, but Saul, he was the number one enemy of Jesus. Why? Because he was trying to stamp Jesus out. But he met Jesus. And meeting Jesus changed everything. So he went from a persecutor to a prisoner. This is so good. Now watch this. The religious hierarchy, the man who was in the Jewish system's eyes was one of the up-and-comers. He went from being hated by Christians or being a hater of Christians to being a lover of Christians. So good. What does that mean? I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what a scoundrel you've been. Even if you've been one since you've been saved. Hello? If you meet with Jesus, He can change you. Not He can, He will if you truly meet with Jesus. He'll change you. Glory to God. Now watch this. Verse 2. If indeed you've heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me for you. The grace. God gave him grace to do something. I want you to know that God has given you grace to do something. What is that grace? I love this definition. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Right? In other words, everything that God has in Him and has planned to give to us was because of the finished work of Jesus. Glory to God. I have grace in His name. But back up one verse and go back to verse 1 for just a minute. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. That's such a revelation, because the one who was persecuting the church, coming after everybody who named Jesus, was now a prisoner of Jesus, but it was for the Gentiles. Now, in the Jewish tradition, the Jewish community, and it was this, that there were the Jews, and then there was proselytes, in other words, other people who maybe didn't have Jewish descent, but they became Jews. They were okay, but everything else, everybody else was out. They were out. If you were called a Gentile, that was a dirty word. I mean, that was unholy. That was just on the backside of everything. So Saul, before he was converted, would look at a Gentile and go, well, you can't even get close to God. You can't even be near God. Unless you convert to our religion, there's no possibility of you coming to God. Now watch this, because this is important. Under the old covenant, the way to God was keeping ordinances. And how well you kept that ordinance was a signal of how close you were to God. But that Jesus came and he changed all that, first of all, because he said, none of you can keep it perfectly. And if you fall short on one thing, you should fall short on all of it. So what does that mean? We're all out. We're all out. We're all hopeless. We're all without hope, the Bible says. But God, right? But God came and he said, listen, your righteousness, or you're able to be right before me, is not determined by what you do or don't do. Your righteousness is only determined by your relationship with Jesus. So this one who was persecuting the church, and I have a feeling in my heart that would look down on anybody that was persuaded or of the Gentile persuasion, he would be looking down his Jewish religious nose at them going, we're on the inside, you're on the outside, right? We know God. You don't know anything about God. You don't know. But God turned him so around and revealed this mystery to not only Paul, but then he said, I want you to go tell it to all those people that you thought were on the outside looking in. Whew, glory to God. You know, that includes me, right? Because I'm not Jewish by birth. Glory to God. But I'm part of the inheritance by being born again. Look at this. Verse 2 again. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you. In other words, I love this. It's like the pouring out of grace. You know, have you ever been around a water dispenser or, you know, we have one out here in the hall. You push the button and water comes out. And God said, listen, Paul, I'm going to pour this grace out on you. But it's not for you, it's through you to somebody else. And so he's saying, have you heard how God has blessed me with revelation? Have you heard? Because the revelation that I have isn't for me, it's for you. Glory. Glory to God. And I love verse 3 because it says, how by revelation he made known to me the mystery that I have briefly written already. He's saying that this, that God has made this mystery known to me, but the grace that I have is the ability to make the mystery known to you. I got a secret. Do you want to hear it? Come on, I've got a secret. Do you want to hear it? Listen, I'm not telling anybody, but I'm going to tell you. Right? Have you ever been in that situation where I'm not telling everybody, but I'm going to tell you? And part of that is like, well, man, that's pretty good. Man, I'm on the in crowd. I'm sometimes it's like, don't tell me anything, man. I don't want to hear it. You know, but in this case, it was like, I've had something made known to me. Verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That is so exciting. Why? Because I'm included. I was excluded before because not only of my natural birth, but because of sin and everything else. But Paul is saying you're included now. And not only are you included, you can know the mystery. And not only know the mystery, you can understand it. You're included. I'm included. Glory to God. I'm on the inside, baby. I got an inside track. Come on. Right. Remember, this is going to date me really, but most of you will know it. I'm part of the in crowd. Right? Right? I'm part of the in crowd, right? I'm part of the in crowd. Why? Because he included me in his love. He accepted me in his love. Glory to God. Verse 5, it says, which in other ages was not known, made known to the sons of men, but it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. See, the secret wasn't known before. Those Jewish leaders who were around Jesus' time and were the pillars of the synagogue, and they didn't know this. They'd studied the Torah all their lives. They'd studied the prophets. They'd studied all of the books of the Old Testament, but they didn't know this. Why? Because it was hidden. But now it's going to be revealed. And you're in on it. Paul said, you can be in on it. Say, I can be in on it. See, that's so exciting to me because, first of all, this says so much that the Holy Spirit, if I'm in relationship with the Holy Spirit, He'll reveal things to me. He'll reveal things to me. And not only will He reveal things to me, but He'll show me everything that Jesus did for me. And what it means to be part of. Right? Come on. What it means to be part of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember the story, and I'll probably get it a little bit wrong, but you remember the movie, the Knights of the Round Table, and you know, it was such a good movie, but here was Sir Lancelot, and he came into the room with the round table, and there was the one place that was missing because of the guy that advocated his place. But he was dressed like the others, right? Because he was on the outside. But there was a time where the king said, now you're in. And then he came into the room in a completely different manner because all of a sudden he was welcomed at the table. We were on the outside looking in, but now we're welcomed to the table. And at the table you learn different things. At the table you learn different things. Glory to God. Just imagine this for a minute. You're a teenage kid, and for the first time, or maybe you've been over a few times, but your buddy says, "Listen, come on over to our house for dinner." Right? And you're sitting at their table at dinner, and things are different than at your house. Right? First of all, you're kind of, what are they doing? What, I got to do the same thing. I don't want to be out of place. But the more that you're around their house, the more you become indoctrinated into the way they think. The way you're more accepted. My folks raised 12 children. 12 children. But there was always more. My mom knew how to multiply spaghetti. At the lake, we did it all the time. But when people were there for a little while, they became used to it. All of my friends were really comfortable going in and out of our house, right? Gary would come over to our house, and he'd go right to the bread drawer and make himself a Dugan special. What was a Dugan special? It was a peanut butter and jelly, because we bought the big cans of it, right? I mean, we had... So my thinking here is my feeling, and what I'm trying to communicate with you is that you are on the outside, but the more time you spend in the Spirit, talking with the Holy Spirit, the more you'll become acquainted with who you are and whose family you belong to. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. He's getting into it now. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. Now, this would blow Jewish folks' minds, right? And it would blow the minds of Gentiles who'd been around the Jewish folks. Now, the Jewish folks were God's people. They were holy. They were set apart. God did special things for them. But you were either in or you were out. And most Gentiles were out. But now Paul is making this revelation. He's bringing this known. You're included now. You're included now. You're included now. Into what? Into everything that Jesus did for His chosen people, He's done for you. And so now you are one of the chosen instead of one of the frozen. Right? Right? You're one of the chosen. In other words, you're not frozen out of it. You're included in everything that God has promised. So when you find a promise in the Bible, you can say, that's for me because I'm included. That's for me because I'm included. I'm not on the outside looking at being good enough to be able to deserve it. If we had that for our criteria in order to receive a promise, being good enough to deserve it, none of us would ever have anything. Right? Because the Bible is clear about it that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed it. But we're all included because of the mystery. And the mystery is that Jesus was not only the Jewish Messiah, which He is, He's also the Messiah for the whole world. Oh, glory to God. I'm included in His love. I'm included in His promises. I'm included in His family. I'm included because of what Jesus did. I'm included. Glory to God. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Now I want you to just put yourself in here for a minute. Jerry said this years ago, and he told me he was meditating on the scripture. He couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. And the Spirit of God just spoke to him and said, put yourself in the story. Have you ever read a story like for instance, we'll just go with feeding the 5,000. Read that again, but put yourself, feel like you're in the story. You're with 5,000 people, and you've been there for days, and there's no food, and there's nothing to eat, and you're hungry, you're starving, right? And you're thinking, oh, man, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. How are we going to even get something to eat? And all of a sudden, you figure out that Jesus had five fish, you know, some bread. And he multiplied. What would that do for you on the inside? Whoa, I don't ever have to be hungry again if I just follow him. In fact, the next story, Jesus is talking, and they got in the boat, they went to the other side, and the people followed him around the lake, and they said, the only reason you're here is because I fed you. Right? But what I'm saying is when you begin to put yourself in the story, it becomes more real to you because you're putting emotion with your knowledge. And it cements it in, right? So put yourself in this when you're reading this by saying that I should be a fellow heir of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. I am included in him. You know what an heir is? An heir is a relative or somebody that's been designated to receive an inheritance. Here's the revelation that through Christ Jesus, you've been designated an inheritance in him. I'm included in the will. Right? I'm an heir. I'm an heir. I'm an heir. Glory to God. I have a sister-in-law that, bless her heart, I mean, she and my brother, they've always had enough provision, but it's always been a struggle for them. She had just inherited like $1 million from an aunt that she had. Woohoo! Glory to God. She became an heir of the aunt and got, you know, that money. Now watch this. Your inheritance is absolutely based on what the person who's named you an heir has to give. Right? Right? So if you were if you got my inheritance, well, it would be valuable, but not monetarily. That's all I'm saying, right? I think I give some value, but I don't have a lot of money in the bank. Right? God says that you are included in the will. You have his inheritance. What does that mean? I have his love. I have his joy. I have his peace. Right? But I must learn about his peace and allow the Spirit of God to reveal that to me so that I'm no longer thinking about it on a head knowledge, I hope it's so, but a no-so knowledge that I know that that's mine. You can't talk me out of it. If somebody is truly born again and has had the Spirit of God come to live on the inside of them and has the revelation that they are a child of God, try to talk them out of it. You can't. Well, you can't be saved. Look at what you did. Sorry. I mean, I understand what I did might not have been right, but he loves me and I've asked for forgiveness and you might not ever forgive me, but he already has. I have an inheritance that's based on what he did, not on based on who I am. My entrance into the grace that Paul is talking about is me simply believing that it's real and it's true. And it's for me and it's mine. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, but it's of him, right? So what I'm saying this morning, and get this inside of you, that I'm a joint heir with Jesus. There's a verse that says I'm a joint heir with Christ. Joint means the same. If you and I had a joint checking account, then anything that I put in that bank account, you'd have access to. Right? So you better be careful if you have a joint. You know, get a note when you come home. It's all gone. Right? But I am joint heir with Christ. That means everything that He has, I have access to. I have access to the Father because I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Verse 7 says, "Of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace given to me by the effective working of His power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." I love this portion because Paul says, I'm not all that. Outside of Christ, I'm not all that. I'm the one that was persecuting the saints. I'm the one who had my religious nose so far up in the air you couldn't convince me that I was bad. I'm the worst of them. But God has graced me by His love to be the one to be able to declare to you the unsearchable riches of Christ. What does that mean? That means it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. You're a candidate to spread the gospel if you'll allow the Spirit of God to use you to talk to somebody. You know, we pray for revival. Revival, Lord. And what we're really saying is, God, this world needs You, and we want people born again. But really, are we praying? I think sometimes we pray wrong. Because Jesus never once in the New Testament is it ever said, pray for the lost. Never. Not one time. Pray for the lost. But what did He say? Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to the lost. Who's that? Who are the laborers? Those who have a revelation of the fact that God wants to reconcile all people to Himself. That's you and me. So what does that look like? Here's what it looks like. You wake up in the morning and say, Lord, this is a day You've made. I just love You. I worship You. I praise You. Just give me an opportunity to share You with somebody today. Right? Whether it's one, whether it's five, whether it's 10, 50, 1,000. It doesn't matter, Lord. Give me an opportunity to share what? That God is not mad at you. God is not excluded you. God has included you. And all you need to do is come to know Him. But listen, you're not going to win an argument out of your head, but you can win a person by the Spirit. And He's graced you to be able to do that. I'm included in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, as He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So it's like, Lord, help me to love somebody to You. Sometimes it's by words. A lot of times it's by actions. But more than anything, it's by the knowledge of knowing that everybody that you meet is included if they'll allow themselves to be. Let me say that again. The knowledge that everybody you talk to, God wills for them to be saved. God wills for them to come into the kingdom, so they're all a candidate to be included. So who are you going to meet tomorrow? Who are you going to meet this afternoon? Everybody that you come in contact with, some might be saved, some might not be saved. Some may have never heard the gospel in their lives. Do you understand that that still happens today? That there are people, I've never heard that, I've never known that, I didn't know. God wants us to become more aware of opportunities for Him to use us with the ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because he wants everybody included. I'm included. I'm so happy for that. But he wants all of us to be included. Everyone who has ears to hear can be a part of this. Glory to God. Look at verse 9. And I like this. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What does that mean? Again, everybody's included. That's the fellowship of the ministry. That's the mystery. That's everybody can be part of the secret. God loves you. God wants you. God wants you to understand that He's made everything okay if you'll just become a partaker of His love. If you'll just come to Him like you are and allow Him to change you, you're a part of the mystery. Everybody, I'm included. I'm included. I'm not only included in the promises, I'm included in the ministry of reconciliation. God wants to use me. God will use me. Hallelujah. I can't get into a situation that God's not there. And if I'll listen to His voice, He has a way of saying things that I don't. Verse 9 says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the ages that has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in the heavenly places. God wants the manifold wisdom of God to be the devil to look at you and go, whoa, right? Look what God did. Look at that fellow heir and the principalities. Look at him. We can't touch him. We can't touch her. They're marked with the blood. They've been partakers. They're included in the saints. They're included, and therefore they are in a different place than they used to be because they have partaken of the grace that included them into the mystery that Jesus died not only for the Jew but for the Gentile. And we're all included in that same grace. Hallelujah. I believe that God still has a special place for His the sons and daughters of Abraham. I still believe that. But the reality is that the entrance into the family of God is only through Jesus Christ, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. But once you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're included. Come on, say, I'm included. What am I included in? All the promises of God. You know, there's a scripture that says, and it's Philippians chapter 4, that He'll guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. He'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. Well, I'm not walking in that. I wish I could get me a drink of that someday. You have it already, but you just got to walk in it. You got to understand who you are and what He's done, and understand that I am, come on, a fellow heir. I am included in the promises of God. That's for me. And if I'll do the things that are associated with that verse, I can walk in peace of God. So if you're not walking in peace, that would indicate that you're not either aware of what you're supposed to do or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Are you with me? But I want to be a partaker of every promise, so I want to do what He wants me to do, mainly because He told me to do it. But the fruit of that is walking in the promise and the results of it, right? But then I want to put that on to somebody else. Somebody's struggling, you say, listen, I want you to know that there's a place that you can find where peace resides, even in the midst of what you're going through. I'm not saying that your circumstances are going to just change poof and everything's going to be all right. But what I'm saying is that until it does, or if it never does, you can still know that the peace of God is yours and you can have peace in the midst of your trial. You don't have to live under stress. You don't have to live under de-stress. right? You can be free from that even though you're in it because of the peace that comes by your inheritance. I'm included in the inheritance. And listen, when I get to be aware of who I am, the devil knows it, all his cohorts know it, and even the angels know it, and it makes a change in every circumstances that I'm involved with. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 12. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. I mean, get that picture. Have you ever seen in the movie or anything, but you see the throne room of God and there's lightning flashing and there's just all this, you know. The movie that comes to mind, okay, is remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark? The Raiders of the Lost Ark. Do you remember that movie? And they opened the box in that cave, and all of a sudden, and people melted because of the holiness of God. And He is holy. He is holy. But because of our inheritance, because of who we are in Christ Jesus, we can be bold to walk into that holy place. I get it in myself. I'm not worthy of anything, but He's made me worthy of everything. I'm included in those people that can go before His presence and not be melted by His holiness. Right? Because I am under the blood and I have access to His throne room. Let me say that one more time. This is so good. Verse 12. In whom, in Jesus, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Because I believe Jesus is the Messiah, because I believe He's my Lord, because He's my Savior, because I've turned my life over to Him, I have confidence that I can go before Him. And when I go before Him, He hears me. And when He hears me, He answers me. I know that 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 I know. When I take my last breath here, I'll be there. You know, I've watched a lot of people over the years now in the process of dying, and sometimes it's horrible because they have no confidence. But I'm going to just brag on my mom because she was the such an example of this. This was like on a Wednesday, and she passed away on Sunday. But my sister was over talking to her, and she was crying because we all knew she was dying. Knew it was only days. And she looked at my sister and said, "Oh, Jeannie, this is what we live for." In other words, I'm not afraid of death. I've lived my whole life by faith, knowing that when I die, I'm going to be with Him. Glory to God. How can I know that? Because I'm included in the Beloved. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. This isn't going to be in the right order, Josh, but go to 1 John. 1 John. Why am I preaching this today and why am I emphasizing this? Because I don't care what you're facing. I want you to know that God is with you. I want you to know that you're included in the one who can hear from God. I want you to know that God is just a word away. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm before your throne. And I want you to know that when you ask him for wisdom, that you can be assured that he'll give it to you. Why? Because you're included. You're a partaker of his divine nature. You are a partaker of the promise that he had for us. Right? These scriptures, especially if you've been saved for very long at all, you know. In fact, we used to sing songs about this particular verse. Behold, verse 1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. When we were on the outside, we didn't know about the inside. But we're not on the outside anymore. We're on the inside. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto me, unto you, because you're included in that love. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that you have been accepted in the beloved. I'm redeemed. I'm accepted. I'm loved. But it is a mystery, and sometimes it's like, it's just too good to be true. It blows my mind. Well, you're never going to figure it out in your mind. But if you listen to your spirit will bear witness with his spirit that you are a child of God. It says that in Romans chapter 8, that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, that we've been brought into the kingdom of God. If you don't have that witness, come talk to me and we'll pray you through to get saved. Because once you're saved, you can know that you know. And then you can say, beloved, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us. Don't you like that? Don't you love that? Now watch this. He's bestowed it on us. What does that mean? That he's given it to you. Here it is. Yeah, but I couldn't take that. I don't deserve that. Let me just say this. And I understand and I sympathize with it, but say that a man is you know, going through the depression. In that depression, they have no food. He has no food for his family, right? And he's walking along the street and somebody says, here's a basket of groceries for you. Take them home and feed your family. He says, I couldn't do that. I can't take that. I haven't earned that. I'm not going to take that. Don't make your family suffer for your pride. Right? If it's bestowed unto you by somebody's grace, then just accept it so that your family can be blessed. So what I'm saying is that we need to accept the love of God and that the love of God has been bestowed upon us so that we can say to somebody else, I want you to know he loves you. Why? Because he loves me. Yeah, but you're this and you're that. I'm nothing. The funniest thing that I hear sometimes is, and I've heard this at different times, it's like, you know, I know if you'll pray, God will hear. Because you're the pastor, you're Holy Joe or whatever, you know, whatever they're saying. But the reality is, God doesn't hear me because I'm Holy Joe. God hears me because of a Holy Jesus. And it's the application of the blood. And because of the application of the blood, I'm included in those he'll hear. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. Verse 2, it says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, I'm going to be with him. So are you. If Jesus is your Lord. The whole revelation that Paul had, that he went around all and was persecuted for, was actually eventually killed for, was that Jesus died for everyone. Jew, Gentile, black, white, woman, man. It doesn't matter. He is the Savior of the whole world. Did you get something this morning? Come on. Come on. Come on. You're included. I mean, you're included. This morning, you're included. If you're watching online, you're included. You're included. You're included. You're included. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for being with us. I thank you for ministering to us, Lord. And I thank you for everybody that's watching, Lord, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube. God, that you just give them just a revelation of who you are and how much you love them. And Lord, let them come to Jesus and be reconciled to you. Lord, I just thank you for your work in our lives. And Lord, if anybody needs healing, I ask you to heal them. If they need provision, bring provision, God. Do your thing, Lord, and work and bless them in Jesus' name. God bless you for watching. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. If I could have the worship team come up.